Yeah, g'day everyone, and welcome to the Tripod. We are live now on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and we already have some comments rolling in, which is awesome. We are here to preview everything round one, besides the 0.5 games, which you saw on Sunday. My name is Dane. I'm from Clarkie's Rugby League column, and I'm joined every week by my co-host, Jacob Wynn from Tripod Punting. Mate, how are you going, first of all?
I'm a little bit flustered, but trust me, it's going to be a great show. I've got lots of key factors and insights and breakdowns to share for the six remaining games. First ever time in 9 years, in fact, that we have a Tripod round preview on a Tuesday. It had always been on Wednesdays, so we've partly moved it to today to accommodate other commitments that would have made it harder to produce on a Wednesday. But I also believe, as I talked about previously, it could be a real benefit to people that follow our tips. We're getting a crack at the market sooner. And then generally anyone that likes to tune into our show, you're getting it 24 hours earlier. Please let us know what you think. I can see feedback coming in. And among other things, yes, the thumbnail I was trying to upload on YouTube, I couldn't get there. Sorry. So had a few little gremlins, but it wouldn't be the Tripod without that. In saying all that, mate, I'm still kind of on a high off the Vegas games.
Yeah, man, I mean, that's the beauty of live production as well, right? Like, we're never going to get everything perfect. We're just two battlers giving it our best shot. And, you know, when you're live, anything can happen. I think our best one last year was when I was waiting for you and you were waiting for me. And there was that awkward stare off for like 30 seconds to a minute. So, yeah, that's that. Give us a quick recap of Vegas, mate. We went 2-2 for everyone that's just tuning in now. How was that?
Yep, best bet, first game of the season, Manly plus half a try. And while I was a little nervous when Souths came out strong to start the second half, Manly came home with a wet sail, won the game outright, 12-point winners, cover the half a try line, of course. And the Roosters did much the same in a tighter affair. But again, outright winners of their margin was 10 in the end, I think. So both underdogs saluted, but that was great for the best bets. It's not going to be that way, I should say, you know, in terms of responsible advice, just because we called it the right way last week and it was fun to sit and watch that come about. There'll be games where I get it wrong and there'll be games where, in my opinion, I'll get it right, but we won't get the result because that's the nature of rugby league. The ball bounces funny ways. So still punt responsibly as always, because I'll be the first to tell you there's going to be bad weeks. We just hope there'll be more good ones in general. But look, Vegas, huge success, and I think it's going to really become a day on the calendar that where I think like footy fans and especially punters and passionate fans can make that pilgrimage to Vegas each year or plan to. It's like, where else would you rather go on a trip to catch some NRL action? So I think that's a roaring success. I think what they need to build on in the future is bringing more Americans in. Like, why couldn't you have filled the rest of that 80,000 seat stadium with locals getting half price tickets? Give freebies out at schools, you know, do whatever. Incorporate the Americans more in, because that's what it's all about. But it was a hell of a start.
Yeah, it's a great start. As Peter Vallandy said, the foundation is set now. Now it's about building the house. We can bring up your Facebook and YouTube comments on screen, so we do want to see those roll through. For those watching on YouTube, unfortunately, we're not able to bring them up yet. The software we use is a little bit limiting in that factor. Hopefully in the future they update that. But yes, a 2-2 start for the round. As we look for our 10th consecutive year in profit, 9 in a row so far. From what I've seen online, I've never seen another content creator track every bet to the standard you do and win 9 years in a row. So that's absolutely superb. And if you are new to our show and you are tuning in for the first time, potentially, we like to start the preview shows with the best bets, as we value your time and we know people want to get them up front and get their bets in, and then we'll lean into some further analysis as we go through game by game. So without further ado, let's roll out the red carpet, Winnie. What have you got for us this week in the way of best bets?
Okay, I have two more best bets, and Clarky, I'll get you to type these, and then you might be able to put them on the screen, or if you type them as a comment, I'll put it on the screen. The first best bet is the Titans, -5.5, and that's at $1.90 on TopSport. No Fifita, but I still feel they have the stronger pack. I look at the halves. I don't have to worry about Foran coming in injured or beat up. I know that the Dragons will compete hard. They'll try and get an ugly win. But when you're at home in round one, it's the first game of Dez's regime and you've got the bye in round two, there's just no excuse to get outworked or beaten in effort areas for the Gold Coast. And it's not going to come as a huge surprise to people that I rate the Tides significantly higher than St. George and have them winning that bye at least to convert a try. And then my final best bet for round one will be the Cowboys -5.5, which you can get $1.85 toppy, better, or dabble. similar story in this one, that I will lay the line with the team that I have as clearly better than their opponent, and they're at home in front of home fans as well. And the Dolphins upset North Queensland at QCB last year, but I've no doubt the Cowboys remember that. North Queensland finished higher than the Finns last season, but really it is the home side with more to prove given the talent level. I think they will do so, and I'd be surprised if the Cowboys don't control this match. So I'll take them for a best bet. Clarky, I know you're going to love at least one of those.
Man, I think they're both best bets. Just confirm the line was -9.5 for both games, was it? Or did I miss
5.5. But I can type it now, and okay. You can lead us. You keep going, and I'll get them up on the screen very soon.
Awesome. Yeah, that's two great tips there. I think because we have introduced the Instagram audience as well, I should note that Winnie will give out the best bets. That's because he's got a 9-year track record of it, and I'll be completely honest, I'm not the best punter myself. But I will give out a tip, or at least I'll tell you the way that I'm leaning each game, and then if you please, you can factor that into your thinking as well, or maybe use it for your tips competition. So he's the man that wins the money, I'm the man that dribbles, but I will do my best regardless.
You're the man with all the information that sets the table for us, mate, and you host us very well, steer the ship while I'm a little bit more chaotic.
Captain Clarkey, Thursday night, it's the Knights v Raiders. We're at McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle, and the line is set at -7.5 in the Knights' favour. Now, when we go to team lists, of course, we won't have too much time to prepare this year, given we're going live almost an hour and a bit after they come out. But we know Jaden Brayley is out, so Phoenix Crossland will start at 9 there. Dylan Lucas has won that vacant back row spot from Lachlan Fitzgibbon. The halves don't change. It's still Tyson Gamble and Jackson Hastings. And Kai Pierce-Paul makes his NRL debut from the bench. For the Raiders, they've got Ethan Strange starting at 6 there alongside Jamal Fogarty. Jordan Rapiner is the fullback with Seb Chris suspended. Morgan Smithies and Zach Hosking start at back row. That's because Elliot Whitehead and Corey Horsburgh are unavailable. So some surprise changes in both sides, Winnie. I'm not sure how deep you want me to go into each of the team lists. And did you want me to kickstart our preview on each game?
Yeah, I think you give us the notes you had. I'll give my handicap and then you can wrap it.
Awesome. Let me rip into it then. So the first note I've got for this one is, who can forget the last time these two met? It was in the final series last year and it ended the Raiders season. No doubt Ricky would have immediately circled round one and gone, this is a game that I want to get back. So I do think the Raiders will be fired up here. It was a penalty goal in the 88th minute. That was all that separated them last time. Despite this, I've got the Knights in high esteem this year. And I do think that the Raiders will drop a notch or two this season just due to the experience they've lost. That being said, the style that the Raiders play isn't a flashy style like the Broncos, what we saw last year. It's very gritty. And for that reason, I don't think their game plan changes too much despite losing some tough competitors there. Now, I can't tip them here just because the Knights have won their past 6 in a row over them and the Raiders have lost their last 4 in a row on the road. But I can see the Raiders really hanging in here and making a contest of it, despite other indications that this could be a blowout. So my tip for this one will actually be Raiders +8.5. I know the Lions set at 7.5. I want to give myself that converted try and penalty goal insurance there. But how are you viewing this one?
So just a general advice, if people want to buy the key point, right? So, you know, 8 being a key number that it could land on, that's fine, because you don't pay too much for it. So if it's $1.90 for +7.5, you don't want to play 8.5 for $1.70. 20 cents is too much to pay, but 15 cents max. And certainly if you could just sacrifice 10 cents and get 8.5, I encourage buying that key number, especially if you think a game could be tight. I want to go back to our season preview because it links in with team lists. We said it a week ago. I would not be touching Rapana at top season try scorer at $2.10. I have still seen today Kotrich. Sorry, do we say Chotrich now? Sorry, I don't know.
His name is Chotrich, but he said no one can say it right. Everyone just say Kotrich. I'm fine with that.
Oh, okay, cool. Kotrich, I'll call him then. And Savage are the two wingers, right? And I've still seen them both at 450. So I think you like either of them. That's a good season-long bet. I mean, I don't know how many tries the Raiders will score, but certainly I want to be on a winger for that market. You said it's a finals rematch, and it was bloody close last time around, and I believe the line was closer to 10 on that occasion. Strange stands out to me, you know, as one of the key decisions that we were waiting on by Sticky to partner Fogarty in the halves. Levi to start at 9 and Wolford not even in the 17, and that was a surprise to me. Starling on the bench there. Horsburgh is the glaring loss because the Raiders don't come in full strength. I don't know much of Smithy's game. But what I will say positively for the Raiders is you got Emre Guler, Mariota, and Mariota. Yep. I'll get there with some of these pronunciations and Pasami Solo. That's some serious punch you're packing on your bench there for the Raiders. And we know that's how they want to play. And they want to play through the front door. And I do feel like being a night game suits Canberra's playing style, but it comes back to the Knights. They're at home and they clearly are still the better team. They should be favoured by more than a converted try. I didn't expect Brayley back. Crossland was commendable last year as a converted nine. We know what the back line can do. They can bust this game open, probably be the difference. So, again, I'd tip the Knights. It felt too obvious to me to take them to cover in round one when I'm sure most people will be on them.
If you had to pick, would you say Knights at a -7.5 line or Raiders with a plus?
If you're going to press me, I will take the Knights, even though it does feel pretty chalky.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It just seems to, like, I remember last time I came in here and said, look, there's no chance Raiders win. Just smash Knights at the line, 13 plus or whatever I said. And the Raiders shocked us there. And I'm just wondering how much Ricky Stewart, like, he seems like the sort of coach that could get his troops up for round one as if it's a grand final. And maybe I'm overthinking this too much, but I actually think I prefer Raiders plus in this one. But time will tell. And I'll tell you what, I think for this one, Winnie, let's, instead of going over the team list changes, let's do that from next round onward, just because there's so many changes to every team that would really this on. You happy with that?
Exactly. There's no changes. Well, yeah, you don't need to talk about changes from 2023. Probably just anything that stands out.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, we'll, as we come back next round, guys, we'll tell you the key changes. This round's more of an announcement, as we know. Let's move to Friday night. It's the Warriors v Sharks. We're at Go Media Stadium in New Zealand, and the line is set at -4.5 in the Warriors' favour. I think the Warriors will come into this one on high confidence. They trialled really well. They've got RTS back in their side now. But it's also how they beat the Sharks last year, right? This is a side they beat on two occasions. One was in tough wet weather conditions, which was a massive comeback. And the other was a 36-point blowout at this very stadium. So I do think the Warriors can take a little bit of confidence from that. And typically, the Sharks are very poor in round one. 2021 is the only year in the past decade they've started their season with a win. Whereas the Warriors have won their last five in a row. We know they're very tough in New Zealand. And I do think that now the Warriors understand that they're under pressure and they have expectation this year. I'm not sure it'll work in their favour over a full 27-round season, but certainly round one at home, when everyone's fresh, straight off the preseason, I think they can rise to the occasion with a full house and really perform here. So my tip here would be a Warriors win and Dallin Waiteni-Zelezniak to score any time because he has 24 tries in his past 19 NRL games. You like my tips there? Are you going Warriors here or Sharkies?
I already saw some comments that people will be very upset if I don't tip the Waz in this one and probably more often this year. Of course, I try and stay objective. You mentioned where I want to start here. Oh, well, my first takeaway, because we partly do react to the team list, was, geez, you had a chance to get Rod straight back to the one jersey, but I think you're showing faith in Nickel Klukstad in some ways by saying that RTS is home this year and Tua Picky is a live wire in his own right. Another standout to me was Jazz Tavunga, the junkyard dog. He can't squeeze into the 17. So it shows you the depth that the Warriors have. But again, you've got a size problem, I suppose. When your bench already has Lusick and Walker, you're going to need a couple other bigger bodies alongside that. But nonetheless, it's a strong Warriors side. We were waiting to see if Hines would be cleared. Now, just because people are named on Tuesday, there is no certainty that that's how they line up, but it's a positive sign if you do like Cronulla. However, of course, they'll miss Hamlin Nuele, who's not available for this one. And you mentioned that the Warriors got the Sharkies twice and that might give the Warriors confidence, but I can just as easily play the other side of that, that Cronulla remembers getting upset in one of the upsets of the season at Shark Park by the Warriors. And there were several reasons for that. It was early in the year, so the Warriors were very much ambushing sides. You know, people didn't expect too much and they came into that game 12, 13-point underdogs and they found themselves down. You'll have to remind me, Clark, I mean, was it like 18-0? Something yeah, like that. I mean, it was a double-digit, but I feel like the lead may have even been closer to 20 and the Warriors came back and won. Then they played again at Mount Smart and as you said, the Warriors towed Cronulla up and I was on the Sharks that day for a best bet. So I won't make that same mistake again. I think of the Warriors' home crowd, probably the best in the NRL, so even bigger factor than the Knights, which is another strong home advantage. I don't know who's the better team out of these two. You know, and And I suspect if you're going to say season long, who finishes higher, I might have had Cronulla one spot higher than New Zealand. But regardless, if they're about even teams, then I give the edge and home advantage that Mount Smart brings to get the Warriors over the line. Had the line, the handicap that is, had that been six or in excess of six, I might be playing the Sharks here. But at 4.5, it's a lean, while I think that the Warriors win a tight one.
Yeah, it's that line is a tough one to go either way on. That's why I just said Warriors win outright. Sharkies will present a good challenge there, though. The next game, though, this one's going to be the blockbuster. This has game of the round written all over it. Friday night, prime time, it's Storm v Panthers. We're at Amy Park in Melbourne, and the line is set at -2.5 in the Panthers' favour. This is two absolute heavyweights of the NRL going at it for me. Every year we bring this stat up. I feel silly for bringing it up, but we have to. The last time Storm lost in round one was 2001, and Craig Bellamy was not coaching at that stage. He has never lost in round one as a head coach. And the Panthers are typically very poor at Amy Park. They've only won one of their last eight at this stadium, but they did win last year 34-16 at Marvel Stadium, which for me kind of shows that they've overcome that Melbourne curse. And this is a different Panthers side, as we know. It is almost impossible to tip against Melbourne in round one, but I have to here for two key reasons. I think they look a little bit thin in that forward pack, especially with Nelson Asofa-Solomona unavailable. And two, if Cameron Munster is at 90% plus with that groin injury, being round one, it seems likely that Craig Bellamy would rest him. Like, Craig Bellamy values a premiership and not injuring his star long-term over keeping a round one record around. I also think the Panthers get the job done for Moses Leota's 100th NRL game. My only concern here, Winnie, and I think you probably share this one with me, is the travel between the UK back and forth. How does that affect their preparation? So for that reason, I don't have anything I'm going to tip here, but I am leaning the way of the Panthers. Are you feeling the same way about this one?
Epic matchup for sure. I mean, and I'm just talking about in our comments, Joe versus Keegan right now is really kicking off. Luke there as well. Where did I see Luke, who shares tips in our group? Now, I want to know where Luke bets. Waz -3.5, Eels -5.5. Those are great bets if you can still get them, or maybe Luke had tipped those ones earlier in the piece. And of course, as for this one, it's kind of the unstoppable force against the immovable object, because you got the team that doesn't lose in round one against the team that doesn't lose nearly at all, except the Panthers did lose the World Club Challenge again, and they did lose, they being Penrith, in round one last year on the back of losing the World Club Challenge. And that was playing the home World Club Challenge, so less disruption to the prep, because you could just call it, you know, their preseason starting a week earlier. This time, as you mentioned, they've got to come from the other side of the world. So given that this game is in Melbourne, I think plenty of people will still feel that the back-to-back-to-back champions are the more vulnerable side. And I'm sure a lot of people will back Melbourne. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you've backed them the last 20 years, you might as well keep going back to that well. Prior to the team list, I was really focused on, okay, are these 5'8"s, are they good to go? You know, Munster and Luai, both under injury clouds, both named trends well, but it's not a certainty. Munster said he's going to give himself till tomorrow, right? And Luai had that off-season shoulder surgery, of course, didn't play the challenge. Last time these two met, Penrith steamrolled the Storm en route to a grand final and en route to winning their third straight comp, as we know. But prior to that as well, don't forget, the Panthers rolled Melbourne at Amy Park, and it's worth mentioning that was without Nathan Cleary too. So I will actually still tip Penrith, though there are plenty of reasons to like the Storm. For me, it's kind of on the footy field. The biggest advantage is the middles. Leota, Fisher-Harris and Yeo against Kamakamitha, King and Liero. It's a big difference, especially without Big Nelson there. I couldn't quite get onto the Panthers for a best bet. You know, this line has leaked out a little bit. I think it's because, and Tristan's going to chime in as well, but I think it's because there's more doubt about Cam Munster than anybody else. So the line might be preempting that. But, you know, if it's a 1.5 line, I probably do play Penrith, full disclosure. 3.5, given the Storm's prowess in round one and being at home, and given, yeah, what is Penrith's preparation? I mean, they lost in round one last year. It didn't affect them winning the comp. So it isn't like do or die. And in some ways, it might mean more to the Storm because they got pumped the last couple of times they played Penrith. So again, argument for both sides. But we can still get you a tip in this game because Amanda Cool, who is fresh off picking Brooksy. Now, mind you, on our show, he picked Brooks' first try scorer, which didn't hit, but they also had him $7 anytime try scorer. Pretty juicy. Not a bad call, and I'd love to know who he's going this weekend.
Hey, everyone. It's Nicole from Wiki. Hope you guys enjoyed Vegas. Look, I'm going to go straight into it, guys. Nathan Cleary, to score a try anytime, is paying $4 on Top Sport. Absolutely love that. He's up against Cam Munster, who could potentially be out on the Storm left side, with Joe Chan, who's a rookie, next to him. So I love Cleary as a pick. He's also, including finals, I think he's scored in the last four or five games in a row. His career strike rate would have him just over $3 to score a try, about $3.35. So love that. Google Weekly Intrigue. Check out our Discord, data tools, and content. Good luck. Please punt responsibly. And if you followed our same gamers on the weekend, I'm sure you loved it. We got up with 2 10-to-1 same game multis. Loved Vegas games on Sunday. Good luck, guys. Enjoy.
Good stuff from Nicole there, as always. And yeah, I think he is right. I was thinking that as he was giving the Nathan Cleary tip. So he scored in the World Club Challenge. He scored in the Grand Final. I believe he scored in the last two finals before that as well. So he is on a bit of a hot run at the moment. I guess my final two, well, I've got one point and one question for this game. My point flows onto your point is, yeah, last time they had the World Club Challenge and Round 1 both at BlueBet, their home stadium, and lost both. This year they've got it in overseas in the UK and then Melbourne, so it's a lot more travel and disruption there. Question number two, this line actually has already moved to -3.5 since we made that graphic, as you touched on. If Cameron Munster is ruled out, do you then jump on Penrith? And if you do, what minus amount are you looking for there on the line?
Yeah, if he gets ruled out and you find out the second that happens, you hit Penrith, you don't ask any questions. But the market's sharper than ever and the bookies are more aware and attuned to this information. So the reality is within a minute or two of that news, this line is going to be 5.5 and probably juiced to the minus as well. Would I instantly play that? Not necessarily, because you still have the downside that like Luai could be out later in the week. But in any case, I lean Penrith. I lean them today with the possibility of Munster out, and I would definitely lean them if that's confirmed.
Awesome. Yeah, I guess it just really matters what the line moves to in that case. And this game, we will have a same-game multi for, as we announced last week. Better are back on board, which means you can expect a Friday night same-game multi every single week, created custom by none other than Winnie, who had at least one winner, paying $7 every single month of the season in 2023. So it was a very, very profitable market for us. If you're looking for more punting-related previews, Betr also brings you the Fox Sports Lab on their YouTube channel. If you want to check out Betr and need an account, follow the link in the show description, then get in touch with Winnie. As an important reminder, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number or visit the website in this show description. Looking forward to what you cook up there. I guess we can expect a lean to Penrith. And maybe even a Nathan Cleary try there if we're back in Nicole. But let's move on to Saturday Arvo. It's the Eels v Doggies. We're at CommBank Stadium in Sydney, and the line is set at -6.5 in the Eels' favour. Eels v Bulldogs, great rivalry since the 1980s, really. I expect a real physical game here, actually, where I think the Eels are going to be desperate to write a new chapter based on their very poor 2023 by their standards, whereas I think the Doggies and all their new recruits will be desperate to not only impress their fan base, but their new coaching staff, teammates, etc. We expected a lot from the Doggies last year in round one. A lot of people were tipping them, and then they got thumped by Manly by 25 points. The following week, they went to Melbourne and beat the Storm by 14. So it's tough to get a read on the Bulldogs, how they start a season this year. I will say Cameron Serrato is a fantastic defensive coach. We know that from his time at Penrith, but their attack does remain a worry. They do have some better recruits now, which could spark some attack, but their spine is still building together of Marnie, Burton, Hutchinson, and Taff. There's two, half their spine's new, and we knew Marnie and Burton couldn't quite get them over the line for too many points together last year. So how that spine integrates together, I don't think it immediately transfers into points for the Doggies. I think it will long-term. And I do think they've got solid defense, as I touched on earlier. So for this one, I think the Eels win. How much is my question? Their backline also seems a little bit short of X Factor and spark. You know, you got someone like Morgan Harper, who was relatively unwanted by other clubs at centre, and we know Mike Acebo is suspended on that wing. Therefore, my tip in this one, I'm going to play the unders in this game. Most places have that around 38.5 points. What are your thoughts on that, Winnie? Do you see this one being a bit of a low-scoring contest, or you haven't thought about that too much?
It's very hard to predict in round one. There's an argument that, you know, the attacks aren't crisp yet, but I always feel like in the last 10 minutes of each half, in round one, particularly in the early rounds, the match fitness just isn't there. There's no substitute for true match fitness. So I feel like you're always vulnerable to kind of those softer tries, those late breakaway tries that can hurt you. But it depends. Yeah, again, depending on the matchup. I mean, I'll talk about Para, why I would pick them to win. They've got quite a lot of continuity in that spine. You still feel like they probably would execute. But on the other hand, the Bulldogs have got a lot of changes, which probably helps your under. I'll be honest, like, you know, we've only got so much time to talk about the game. So my, you know, pure focus, it just tends to be on the sides. I've kind of stayed away from totals because there's only so much you want to be able to cover, and I want to be able to do what I do as well as possible. Now, we find out with the lineups that Crichton is the highest paid centre in the game. I did say in the season preview, I think Critter should be your fullback. That's where you want to unleash him. But if Taff has impressed him enough, given him enough confidence that he's going to get that nod, it is not like Crichton can't impact a game from centre. So the fact that you also are giving Crichton the honour of leading the Doggies out at Combank, it should be a positive overall for the Dogs that they feel like they've upgraded two positions from last year. It's a tough game for me because I think both these clubs will have a good campaign. And I also have no doubt they're both determined to start strong. We know that the horror start for the Eels last year and Canterbury struggled a lot last season. It does make more sense to me that Parra can find their feet quickly. It's talking about that minimal change in the squad. Whereas for Canterbury, it's like new halves combo, new fullback, new captain, new lock. You can certainly see people saying that after the game. Oh, it'll take time with the Bulldogs. So if you can predict what people will say after the game, you might want to have a bet on that before the game. So I did really lean to Parra. It's funny because I picked both the underdogs in Vegas. And this weekend, I'm seem to be leaning to a lot more of these favourites. So I gave the Eels strong consideration for a best bet. I get that little bit more nervous when that line is beyond the key 6 points. And what I have to take into account round one is that you, to a degree, you expect the unexpected. We don't know. And the thing that we don't really know is which clubs are fitter. You know, you don't know for sure who's had the harder preseason, and it could just as easily be the Bulldogs. And then you're not going to feel so crash hot about Para. So I will certainly tip the Eels for a win. I'll try and always tell you guys who I'm tipping. And certainly if I don't have a best bet, then it's fair. You can assume I'm taking the favourite at the line, because if I thought the underdog was going to win, they would have been my best bet. So I tip the Eels, but with no bet here.
Yeah, it's a tough one, this one. And you actually have made me kind of backtrack a little bit on my unders call. I guess I hadn't really considered that fatigue that you touched on in the last 10 minutes of each half where you do see easy tries scored. So I won't retract that tip. I'll just say I'm no longer as keen on it. And I know that I've sucked with those over-under plays in the past, which is probably why you've steered clear of them for so many years now. All right, we've got two games left. One features the 2024 NRL Premiers. I'll let you decide which team I'm referencing there. Let's hear from an absolute legend who does happen to sponsor two great clubs in the Titans and Tweedhead Seagulls. I'm talking Tristan Merlihan, the CEO of TopSport. He has your market insights. Gather around. Let's have a listen, kids.
Good, everyone. It's Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport, and we're back for the first weekend on home soil. Teams just dropped, as you know, and I know there's been plenty of chat around that already on this show. You know, obviously the ones we were looking out for were those rumours around Cam Munster and just making sure Jerome Luai came back in for that Panthers Storm game. They've both been named, which I think you probably expect it to be the case. There are backs on that extended bench, though, so probably still one just to monitor. No Brayley for the Knights, and also, you know, away from that, I think it was probably pretty much as expected who we thought would be out and who we thought would come in. So nothing that's really changed the markets dramatically after those teams had dropped. Just looking at the movement since we opened the market, the Warriors have gone 3.5 out to 5.5. Panthers game's gone in and out. It was 3.5. It shortened into, I think, 1.5 after the World Club Challenge. But then just on the back of these rumours surrounding Munster and also Nelson out as well, it has seen them move out to 3.5 again. So we'll see if that moves back a little bit now. I suppose once we get absolute confirmation surrounding Munster. The other move seeing Parramatta jump over that key line, 5.5 to 6.5. The Dragons have been specced on the back of their solid trial against the Tigers, and the Titans probably not going as expected against the Eels. And then the last game's been pretty solid. So looking forward to a great game of footy. Can't wait for the action back here on home soil. And of course, if you're having a bet, make sure you do it responsibly, and hope you enjoy round one. Thanks, guys.
Lovely. Thank you very much to Tristan there for that clip and his support of the show. We will have a mixed matchup for you shortly. Saturday
and
night.
I'll follow on from Tristan because we didn't hear from him on the recap, but he did tell me the bookies lost, or Topsport lost on the first game. There were more punters on Manly. However, they made it up on the second game. There were more people liking Brisbane and people loading the overs after seeing 11 tries in the first game, the total still being under 4. And I was saying the same thing. In fact, I actually played an overs multi. So I didn't load up on the overs. I had it locked in at a good price. It didn't play out that way. So I was wrong in that advice that, you know, let's go for more of the same first game to the second. It didn't work out. And that was handy for Toppy. And since Tristan gives us market insights and talks about market moves, I'm just curious. Let us know, have any of the three best bets, have they moved the market at all? We're kind of used to having a little bit of an impact, but I feel like these days the lines are firmer than ever. Just let us know in the comments, are those lines, are they all still $5.50, $1.90 or $1.85 in the Cowboys case?
Mate, only rugby league could go overseas to Las Vegas where everyone is hammered the unders because we're playing on a smaller field, produce 11 tries, and then have grand finals from last year lose in a unders game. It's just rugby league is so unpredictable, and that's why we all love it. Saturday night, Titans v Dragons, Cbus Super Stadium, Gold Coast. The line is set at -5.5 to the Titans. That's because the bookies don't know I'm going there live, though. Expect that line to go more -49.5 in the Titans' favour. Winnie, I'm going Titans 13+, and I know our listeners last year said, can you please stop, you know, asking Clarky his thoughts on the Titans? He's so biased. But in all seriousness, I am actually very confident we start well under Des Hasler. I think we started in really strong fashion. Yes, you can make the same point for Shane Fleming at the Dragons being a new coach, but I do believe our roster to be more experienced and more settled and just generally more strong. I also think if we're talking a coach that's going to have a side ready to go in round one after a tough preseason, I'd honestly take Des Hasler over every coach, but like a Craig Bellamy, if I'm being absolutely honest. So with Isaac Liu celebrating his 250th NRL game and club favourite Brimson playing his 100th NRL game, I just know those are two boys that have the enormous respect of the club, everyone involved with the club, that staff, players. Dragons have lost their last 4 in a row on the Gold Coast. So my tip here is Titans, -5.5. I'll be a little bit safe with my tip. And Alofeana Khan Pereira, anytime try scorer. He scored 20 in his past 23, and he scored in the All-Stars also. You love the Titans as well. I love you. Tell me how you are seeing this one.
Oh, I love you too, man. Thanks. I want to address a comment I saw from friend of the show, Kyle Gordon, and because I wanted to interpret it. Surprised you didn't tip Eels -5.5 as you had strong consideration. -6.5 AOB. What's AOB? Adam O'Brien? Is it meant to be ATB across the board? You know, to be honest with you, Kyle, if Eels was 5.5, I probably would have played it. Did I miss a 5.5? I thought it was 6.5. And I talk a lot over the years about like that. That's a difference. And that's the difference between a bet and a no bet for me. But feel free to clarify that if I didn't completely answer your question there. As for this one, it's cool that we get the matchup with the old familiar coaches who are both premiership winners, no less, in new landscapes. Of course, Dez up against Flano. And while Dez is missing two of his very best players in Jaden Campbell and David Fifita, like, help me out with my pronunciation again, Clarky. Keanu Keeney is an exciting player.
I've heard some commentators say Keeney, but I believe it's Keanu Keeney.
Keeney, exciting player on the rise. I don't actually think you lose a lot. The game is going towards speed, and he has that in abundance. And look, Fifita you can't replace, but great to see both for more back. It just seems to me the Titans have that more class that can win this game. You know, I'm expecting big things from Brimo in the centres there. The front row are, you know, rep players, and a non-injured Kieran Foran, as I mentioned before, helps negate probably the class that the Dragons do have in their halves. But I don't want to knock St. George a lot because I can see them coming in and I'm sure the game plan's going to be high completion, no errors, discipline, lean on Hunt's kicking game. We don't beat ourselves. That's going to be the Flano DNA. We want to out-tough our opponent. But I just think if you look at it more broadly, like the Dragons know this will take time. Every club can come in and say our goal is finals, sure. But like the Dragons don't believe they're a club that can be winning finals games. It's going to take a fair while. Whereas I just feel, and maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I know people will say that. But the Titans look around their locker room and don't see why they shouldn't be playing finals this year with the talent they've got and still to come in. And the factor as well that having the bye in round two does you no favours long term, but you've got to use it to your advantage early. And when you know you're off in round two, you've got to win at home as a strong favourite against, like, you know, one of your perceived easiest opponents of the year. You've got to do it. And not to mention the Dragons nearly beat the Titans at home last year. That was a memorable finish there. And the Dragons did smash the Titans early in the year last year too. So I just think the Gold Coast has to pour it all out and really treat it as a must win, you know, excite the fans that so that they keep coming back this year. And I do believe the Titans will be too strong for St. George.
Yeah, we went 1-1 against the Dragons last year. They had the bye in round one, so they were just a little bit too fresh for us in round two. No, they smashed us there at their home ground. And then we got them. Toby Sexton's last ever touch in a Titans jersey was him scoring to win us a game. So that's a nice moment for him. But you can already see the comments. There's some controversy here. Some people love the tip and some people say we are dribbling. And you know,
but notice fine. The comment I've got on the screen as we go into the final game of the round.
Up to 6.5 now. And what were they at originally there?
Five and a half as bet, you know, half an hour when I said it.
Yeah.
Half an hour ago when I said it.
Thank you very much, Shane, for that, because I'm about to read out the information for this game. Sunday arvo, we've got Dolphins v Cowboys at Suncorp. The line is set at -6.5 in this one. Suncorp Stadium, this will be a big game, a great Sunday afternoon. So I'm really torn on this one, Winnie. I made a bold call early this year that I think the Dolphins will beat all their Queensland rivals at least once. They play them all twice, so they've got a good opportunity to do that. The next time these two sides meet is in round 9 in Townsville. So if I'm going to go with my bold call, I've got to tip the Dolphins here, right? Because they're going to be a better chance in round 1 at home than they will likely be in round 9 at Townsville. Now, we don't know injuries, suspensions, etc. or form, but I'm going to have to stick with my call. They were brilliant last year in round 1 at Suncorp. Both sides are missing a great middle forward due to ACLs, unfortunately. I'm talking Tom Gilbert and Colin Hess there. But if I'm absolutely honest, I think that hurts the Dolphins more than it hurts the Cowboys. You know, someone like Thomas McKayley scored 2 tries in the trial, and even with Colin Hess out, he's still not in this Cowboys 17. So I honestly don't feel too strongly to even lean towards the Dolphins here, let alone tip them, but I've got to go on based on my bold prediction in the preseason. So it is, it's fins up, baby, in this one. And I know you'll like to hear that because you are a Dolphins fan, but from an analysis perspective, who do you prefer here?
Yeah, it pains me to say that I'm on North Queensland in this one. And I was proven wrong by my own side on more than one occasion last year, including round 1. Didn't see that win coming. However, I just think North Queensland does have too much class. And I hope I didn't confuse anyone at the top, but talking about the fact that the Dolphins upset the Cowboys at QCB last year, what I meant by that is that the Cowboys may feel they owe them one to beat the Dolphins at home. I know that the Cowboys did get them back later in the year, but still, I just think there is a real desire to prove themselves to be more similar to the side we saw in 2022 because the squad is really not much weaker. And if anything, some players should have gotten better since then. So I think the Cowboys have a lot more to prove, whereas you go back to that, the Gilbert injury is just massive. And when you look at big game players and key position players, I mean, I can look, if we include the lock position as part of the spine, then I can look at the Cowboys spine and say Drinkwater, Dearden, Robson, Cotter is 4 Origin caliber players, with the only one that hasn't played Origin yet being Drinkwater, who I think is knocking on the door. And if you did the same for the Dolphins, you'd argue Hammer and JMK. But that's a difference of kind of 4-2, not to mention some of the stars in the back row for the Cowboys as well. It's really hard for me to see how the Finns would win this one. So under a converted try, I was happy to go North Queensland's way. And I'm not sure if you had anything else on this game. Otherwise, if we're wondering where's the mixed matchup, well, I've tied that one into the two best bets. Have you got anything or shall I share that?
Roll into the mixed matchup. I'll finish my thoughts after.
Yeah, cool. So when I like two favourites, I can't do a traditional mixed matchup because I can't play like Titans against Dolphins or Cowboys against Dragons because, of course, they would be expected to win. But what I am going to do is put my two favourite teams together and take the Titans and Cowboys to win 13+, but it's a combined 13+. So their margin 13+. You can even have one lose and one win. If one loses by 2 points and the other wins by 16 or whatever. So that's how that one works. And you're getting more than a double up price at 220. You can have up to 200 on that with Toppy. If you do need a TopSport account, use the code TPLIVE. And I don't feel like I have to explain that one much further when I've already stated my case for each of those being a best bet in their own right. I think each is winning six or more. As a likelihood that we're going to get 13+ between the two of them.
Yeah, if our best bets win in the fashion that you think they will, then certainly that mixed matchup plays right into that. You're essentially giving yourself another free win almost there.
I mean, if the Titans win the way you said, then we might be catching points with the Cowboys in the second game. So that's how it goes. Anyway, we'll know how many we need the Cowboys to win by to bring it home, obviously.
If the Titans win by 50, like I joked, then we'll be hitting up Tristan for an early payout, that's for sure. No, but in all seriousness, I actually was going to make the point that even though you do go for the Dolphins club, we should get up some like NFL jerseys that say like Tripod Football Club, because you always say the Tripod is my team before, you know, the Dolphins. I'm not afraid to tip against my best team. I'm here for the punters. So that will be something really cool. Maybe we could wear it on the stream. But we'll talk more about that offline. Idea.
That is true. Everyone knows, like, my allegiances above all does lie to the Tripod family.
Absolutely. And me too. I'd never tip the Titans if I don't believe in them. Everyone knows we'll take it with that one. But that will do our show here tonight, guys. We want to say thank you very much for being here live with us. And if you are listening afterwards as a podcast, to everyone that's got involved with the show, typed, brought the messages up, we really appreciate you getting involved. Our next show will feature Winnie on Sunday, Dolphins v Cowboys within 15 minutes of full time. Unfortunately for myself, I have a family commitment, so I won't be on the recap show this week. But Winnie will recap all the action and hopefully three winning best bets. With that in mind, Winnie, over to you for your famous last words or word.
When you say three best bets, two best bets, and the mixed matchup, and we're already 2-0, baby, in round one. So can't wait. Keen to hear, you know, what everyone else is on as well. It's what it's all about, hearing everyone else's tips and perspective too. And we can't wait to get through six more games of footy. Loved Sunday, and now we're in the thick of it, and this is our routine from now on. And I'm again sorry we started a little late off the blocks, but we do intend to be 5:30 New South Wales time, daylight savings time, every single Tuesday, which is what, 90 minutes after team list drop. Give the markets the chance to settle out and then have a crack. And as you've heard as we've seen in the comments tonight, we're already ahead of the market in a couple of games before the show is even over. Thanks again to you, Clarkie, as well, mate. Enjoy your week, everybody. And Lego.